This episode of Christmas Countdown is brought to you by Countdown Network. From Disney to theater to Christmas, parenting, and beyond, Countdown Network is your home for the top-ranked Countdown podcasts in the world.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show! My name is Eric Peterson. I'm here with my good buddy Danny Jordan.
Hola!
The Christmas Countdown boys. We're back, baby!
Are we clapping for ourselves right now?
We are clapping for ourselves.
This is called self-affirmation.
That's right,
everybody.
Welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show. This is episode 2 of season 3.
We made it. They didn't cancel us.
They didn't cancel us. We made it through one. Now we're over the hump. We are so excited to be back with you.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Did you mean to put on a Christmas shirt and you forgot before you came into the studio?
No, I'm wearing an all-American white t-shirt.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. Yep. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
What would you think that I put on instead of this?
Maybe like a plaid, like red and white checkered shirt or something. I don't know.
It's
hot
out. I just want to wear a t-shirt.
It is hot out. Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to confirm.
Classic all-American white t-shirt.
So I meant to ask you that about 30 minutes ago.
But I like that you interrupted the intro to ask me it.
That is what we do, Eric.
That's what we do. All right, folks, let's try that again. You are here for episode 2, season 3. We are doing the second half of our top 10 pre-1980 classic Christmas songs. Mm. So this will be 5 through 1, which we're very excited about.
So excited.
We have Chris Sisley coming to us live from Brooklyn, New York.
Chris!
We got our buddy John here
on the
ATEM. Is that what it's called?
It is an ATEM. So if Chris is on the ones and twos,
yeah,
can John be on the threes and fours?
Sure.
I love that.
John's on the threes and fours of the camera.
Which makes sense because there's 4 inputs on the device.
That's true.
That he works on.
And we're very happy to have John here.
Yes.
And John has a chair.
He has a chair. He has a desk.
Which is nice. You know,
he has a microphone.
Never got a chair or a desk.
You know, I was thinking the other day because I was like listening back to the first episode, mm-hmm. and I was watching, you know, the video because we put videos up on our YouTube page, and like all of a sudden you'll hear John talk, but there's no video of John. I was like, do we need to get like a little GoPro for John?
Well, we could do that, or I could take a picture of John right now with my phone,
so people
and then you can always just cut to like a still image of John just like this with this great little like over the shoulder smile is perfect. And it just always is just the still image of John.
Or,
unless you want video, John.
Or if someone like wants to create via AI what they think John looks like based off of his voice and then send that to us, and then we'll like jib jab it.
I do kind of love that.
I'm John.
I do kind of
like
love
that. Could be super fun.
That is pretty good.
Speaking of shout outs, while we're giving shout outs,
yes.
I need to give a shout out that I forgot to give
in
our premiere episode. And I feel so bad about it because I promised this person when they were here helping us build this set that I would give them a shout out in the premiere episode because I didn't ever mention their name.
Well, this is part 2 of the premiere episode.
That's true.
So you're still
and
good.
Arguably, there's probably more people listening to this episode because some people missed the first.
Sure. And people want to know that number one, you know?
They really, really do. People come back. So I want to give a huge shout out to another Chris in our lives, Chris Slack, who was our incredible set builder, set designer. Chris was the one who not only built the set that you are looking at if you're watching the videos right now, but also built the set last year.
Yes, indeed.
Great individual, great friend. He doesn't really charge us any money. I always say, send me an invoice.
Yeah.
And then he'll just send me an invoice for the lumber.
Oh.
Never for his time.
Well, thank you, Chris.
That is the essence of Christmas.
That's right.
Giving for giving's sake.
That's right.
Just wait. Now we're going to get a real big invoice.
Yeah.
Because I didn't mention him in the first episode.
Yeah, he's like, all right. Here it comes.
By the way, my time is $1,000 an hour.
$1,000 an hour.
You thought you were making money as podcasters. Well, you are wrong.
Think again.
Because it's all mine now.
And you know what, Danny? As a little extra present, an early Christmas present for everybody, we're going to release our first bonus episode for everybody.
Yes.
For free. Give you a little taste of what the Patreon group gets every single week to sort of whet your appetite for the bonus episode stuff, which is so fun. So this bonus episode for this countdown will go live tomorrow. And if you enjoy that episode, you like the bonus stuff, the backstage kind of vibe, you can subscribe on Patreon or you can subscribe on Apple or Spotify and you will get these fun bonus episodes. We also have to tell you, make sure you follow us on the socials.
Yes.
We have at Christmas Countdown Show on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. Is anybody using Threads?
So what I will do is I'll take what we post on Instagram.
Sure.
And then I'll just post it on.
But does anybody like react with it?
Yeah.
Really?
We have like over 14,000 followers on Threads. Okay. I know. What's big on Threads is like there'll be a trend where, you know, Chips Ahoy will be like, I am cookies. And it'll just be a bunch of cookie emojis. And then like, you know, Michael's, you know, crafts will write back and go, I am art. And they do like all the art emojis.
So it's like a chain letter.
It sort of feels like it. It feels like everyone's just like, I'm going to type something silly on here today. And then everyone's like, well, I'll just do my silly version.
Sure.
It's basically social media is what it is. Yeah. I'm just going to do my silly version of what
you're
doing.
Do you remember chain letters from when we were kids? Like there was chain emails, which were at the early days of email. People would send you an email, be like, if you don't forward this to 7 people, you'll have bad luck for 10 years.
Yes.
But do you remember when we used to write them? Like in 100% high school and stuff?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We did. So I was part of the class of 2000. Mm-hmm. Like everyone was like, this is the end of the millennium, sure, you know, big sort of thing. So on the first day of kindergarten for us, they had this huge celebration where all of us got like t-shirts that said like class of 2000 on it. We buried a time capsule that I found out recently nobody is able to find at this school. That's a story for another time. But we also released balloons into the air, which is great for the environment. The environment loves that sort of thing. But we
it was
all
the
wrote.
80s.
Yeah, it was the 80s. Nobody cared. We all wrote letters and attached them to the end of the balloon. And it was like, hey, I'm, you know, so and so from this school. Let me know where you found this. So we all started getting letters back from people being like, hey, I was on the 8th, you know, fairway at such and such golf course and your balloon landed.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm stalking you, like sort of thing. It was really, really cool. I'm kidding.
I do remember that. That was really good. You know what else balloons are good for? We used a balloon for Sophie when we were getting rid of the pacifier.
Ooh.
So instead of like saying you don't get a pacifier anymore and throwing it in the trash, right? Where they're like, it's traumatic. When she was, you know, 4 or 5, when it was like, okay, we gotta be done with the passy.
Right.
We said, this is, I don't know. We said, there's babies up in heaven who might need a pacifier.
Whoa.
So we tied the pacifier to a balloon and we like sent it up into the air and she was able to be like, bye bye, Passy, and like was good with it. And it was like a moment for her to sort of feel like she was giving and
Wow. Going to the babies in heaven.
Yeah, we went deep.
Yeah, you went real deep.
Real deep.
I feel like there's a story and they're like, I want to see that movie.
There's probably some trauma that she'll be dealing with later. You
what
know?
Is, where are all the babies in heaven,
oh my God.
Dad?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
Oh, we're devolving quickly.
Yes.
We're only like 3 minutes in.
But that's what we do.
Yes,
here.
Let's continue our socials. If you still are on the Twitter/X, we are at XmasPod.
Yes.
And you can check out our full episodes on YouTube.
It's true.
We're very excited about
full 3-camera setup, plus you get to see Chris and
absolutely
maybe John's real face,
maybe
it's a jib jab, maybe it's AI, maybe we're AI,
who knows?
That's where the world is these
that's
days,
right.
Friends. But yeah, we're so excited to be back. You know, Eric, I was thinking after our premiere episode the other day, and you know, maybe you'll be excited about what I'm about to share with you, maybe you won't. TBD. We're going to find out in real time.
I'm excited.
I felt like I was super scripted in the last episode. So I'm trying to like freewheel a little bit and just like sort of just let it come organically. Like
off
I was
the cuff more?
Yeah, a little bit more off the cuff. Because I was looking down at the script and I was like, no, Danny, say what you're feeling. Say what you're thinking in the moment. So I promise to our listeners out there, I'm going to try to be a little bit less scripted and a little bit more in the feels, in the pocket.
I didn't feel like you were very scripted.
Maybe it's just, you know, first episode jitters.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Getting the rust off.
Yeah, getting the rust off. Yeah. You know, it's been what? 10 months since we've had a full episode.
It has. But we got good stuff today. We got good stuff.
So much good stuff.
We got a game. We got some memes and things. We got some fun news.
Oh, my gosh.
We
got fan mail.
We have fan mail.
I have a couple other surprises over here.
Should we go to fan mail right now?
I mean,
or do you want to rate and review first?
I think let's do rate and review. You know, one thing we love to do.
Let's stick to the script, right?
Dang it. Eric, throw my phone across the room right now.
Oh my gosh, it makes me laugh. Danny's like, we are not sticking to the script. I'm off the cuff. And then I was like, hey, you said fan mail. Let's do fan mail. I believe
actually,
that
the
it
says
next
says,
here
that we have to do rate and review at exactly 11 minutes and 12 seconds into the episode. We can do fan mail first.
No, let's
do
it. Now we're in rate and review.
Dang
let's do
it. Let's get
we're
back
good.
To
we're
the
good.
Script.
So I'll read the first one here.
Yes.
And as we tell you always, please, if you've not rated and reviewed us, please do that on Apple. Apple, or they can send us a DM if you're listening on Spotify.
Yep.
We will read your review on live on the show.
We love to do that.
And we love to do that. All right, this first one. Oh, no, I can't see who it's from. Oh, wait, I can. This is from Lane Train.
Lane Train 11.
That's a great name.
That's a great
That's one of the
name.
Better ones that we've read before.
I really like that one.
Lane
a lot.
Train. Lane Train 11. They wrote, great podcast, 5 golden stars. This podcast really gets me in the mood for Christmas. Mm. I enjoy thinking back to all the memories that listening to this podcast gives me to Christmas. Thank you. There was a period after thank. Thank you for getting me into the Christmas spirit, even in mid-August. And like, honestly, I will put this out there. I even think on Thanksgiving we celebrate Christmas. And it's true. So Lane Train.
I feel like when you say that person's name, you go, Lane Train?
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. Now, do you think that people called him Lane Train?
Or them, they?
Or them, might they, be, her? I don't know
who it is, yeah.
But do you think that people called them that name, or do you think they gave themselves that name?
That's a great question. You and I talked about nicknames. Was it season one or two?
Well, I told you my Eazy-E story.
Your Eazy-E, because you didn't have a nickname.
Right.
But you gave yourself one.
I gave myself the nickname Eazy-E, thinking it would catch on, and it never did. I was only ridiculed mercilessly by my college friends.
Which has become, let's pull back the curtain a little bit here, is that whenever we're texting on like our show thread,
yes.
Whenever I, because sometimes I'll call Chris C and I call Eric E.
Yeah.
But whenever I type E, I think
easy.
Because that's what you said, one of your buddies
right, yeah.
said to you when you yep. had it on the back of your jersey. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Lane Train, you got to let us know. Is that a name that somebody gave you?
Self-given moniker, or did people
bestow it upon you. Yeah.
Ooh, bestow. Good
when word. I hear train, it reminds me, quick little backstory here, is I used to work for American Idol. And there was this guy who loved to call me D-Train.
Okay, yeah.
And
not D-Crest?
No. D-Crest was out.
Okay, gotcha.
D-Train was in. But whenever he would walk by my desk in the office, he would do 2 knocks on the edge of my desk and go, train! Every single time he would walk by my desk. And to this day, one of my best friends in the world who worked in that office with us, whenever I talk to him, he goes, train. Like
train.
He just calls me. He's the only person in the world that calls me train.
Fun.
So Lane Train, you and I have something in common. And thank you so much for that wonderful review.
Yes.
Moving along to our next one. This is a little bit of a longer one. And this comes to us from Edaluna Val. I think it's Edaluna. There's 2 Edaluna, maybe? Because usually when you have 2 L's, it's you, right?
Yeah.
Edalunaval or Edalunaval or Edalunaval.
Edalunaval.
Either way, this was brought to us by them.
Yes.
And the title of this review is A True Cozy Listen, and they gave us 5 golden stars. And here is what they had to say. I first tuned in because I was looking to get into the Christmas spirit. After the pandemic and other family issues, it felt like there was little reason to celebrate. I was so lucky to discover this podcast when it was just taking off. This podcast has reminded me in cheerful and gentle ways why we choose to make traditions with our loved ones. It's also just about the only podcast that soothes me when I'm nervous. This is going to sound weird, but I had to go get a dental procedure. And after thinking of all the podcasts I listened to, I decided to download and have this one playing to distract myself from my anxiety. And it worked.
Yeah.
The joyful energy Danny and Eric bring, along with the wondrous theme that is Christmas, makes this the coziest podcast I listen to.
So you could say that we are the Novocaine of Christmas podcasts.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, Novocaine, you didn't.
That was pretty good.
That we are. We that are. Is what they call us.
Well,
Edalunaval.
Thank you very much for that.
That was very, very sweet. Isn't that kind?
I love that.
It's just amazing, you know, all the places that people choose to listen to our podcast. Because, like, inevitably you think, like, oh, people are listening to this in their car or on the train or whatever. Yeah. But the fact that somebody is, like, sitting in a dental office, because I do the same thing whenever I, you know, go to get x-rays or filling or whatever, is like, I'm like, what music is going to soothe me right now? And I'll put that on. But to think that, like, our show brings that vibe to people is really, really special,
that
you know?
Great. Yeah. So I've never listened to music at the dentist. I've
never
thought of that as an option.
Yeah, bring your, and if you have like the new AirPod Pros, turn on noise canceling.
Yeah, because I mean, the worst thing at the dentist is that sound of the scraping.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, God, it's the worst.
It's not just a sound.
The feeling.
Let's
the
really
sound,
get people uncomfortable
together.
Right now. It's the feeling of like the metal thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No good.
I love that. Like Etta Luna might be listening to this while she's in the chair. She's like, "Oh, I need something to distract me from my dental procedure." Got a lot of cavities in here. Like, really, just giving it to.
Oh my gosh, that's right now.
But yeah, if you would like to have your review read on the show, if you're listening on Apple, you can do it right now. Scroll right down, tap on that 5-star button, leave us a review. We love to read them on the show. Or if you're listening on Spotify or anywhere else, because there's so many ways. People listen on Google, Castbox, Pandora. People just listen all sorts of ways. So wherever you are listening in the world, feel free to shoot us your review via DM on Instagram. We are at Christmas Countdown Show. Or you can email it to us, kringle@christmascountdownshow.com. That's just a great way to stay in contact with us in general. So speaking of fans and people who
will reach out to us, let's go to the fan mail now.
I think that's next on my script here. Yes. So
let's stick to the script.
I was just naturally thinking I wanted to go there, but it conveniently is also right here. So this box, this piece of fan mail is so big it doesn't fit in our fan mail bag. So I had to sort of like
drape it over.
Yeah. But this one, I am so excited.
Okay.
We wanted to open this in our premiere, but we had so much to get through on the premiere episode we didn't get to. So this piece of fan mail is coming to us all the way from Kildare, Ireland. Oh, I don't want to show the full address.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, hey, if you want to send a message to Simon, here's his full address. But yeah, this is coming to us from Kildare, Ireland, from our very, very good friend, Simon.
Hello, Simon.
Simon.
We love you, Simon, so much.
Oh, Simon. Thank you for this fan mail.
Do you know who you sound like when you sing like that?
Who? Tell me.
Conan O'Brien.
That's exactly what I wasn't going for. I was going, you know what's funny you bring that up is that whenever I do voices like that, my wife says you sound like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
So clearly, that's a fact.
That's the vibe you're giving, yeah.
But people laugh at Conan O'Brien.
Sure,
and I think when he does his Irish accent, it's very funny.
Can you get into this box? Or
I'm trying. It's just there's so much tape going on here. Let's give
the
people.
It's internationally packaged.
Yeah,
so,
it says Unpost.
Unpost. A-N.
Is that like an Irish thing?
I don't know. It's got a very cool like circle logo with Big Ben and a lot of different things from Europe, I'm assuming, here. Or the UK.
Oh, yeah, because I see the Eiffel Tower
is on there. Yeah, I see like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Or Tour Eiffel, as they say in France. For all our French listeners out there, you're welcome. Okay, there we go. Sorry, just like exploded on me. Oh, there is a letter.
All right, let me read
it. Do you want to read the letter?
I'll read
there
the letter.
You go.
All right, here we go.
That over to you. Oh, my gosh.
I got to read it in Irish. Here we go. It says, greetings to my Christmas friends. Hello from Kildare in Ireland. Congratulations on the commencement of season 3. I have a feeling that this will be the best season yet.
Aww.
I just wanted to send you both a few little treats from Ireland. There's a package for both of you, blue bags, and a selection box for both of you also.
Ooh, selection?
Yeah. I'm not sure if you do selection boxes in the States. What's a selection box?
I was just about to ask, because you said it and just sort of rolled over.
I'll tell you. It is a tradition here in Ireland. Selection boxes come in small and large sizes. Some can be shaped like a Christmas stocking, and some are large rectangular boxes. They are full of chocolate bars and treats. I have sent you the Cadbury selection box.
Ooh.
Maybe this may form part of a Christmas countdown list in the future.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that. Top selection boxes.
Love that.
I've also included some decorations from Newbridge Silverware. Newbridge Silverware is renowned around the world. I think he got us to just do an ad for Newbridge Silverware.
Actually, this was a whole like strategy, Simon. This has been a slow con
he's been
for like 2 years.
Following us.
He actually works for the company. He's head of marketing. And before you know it,
you're like,
silverware is the best silverware in the world. Then you can go to www.
You know, in fact, they are synonymous with designing and crafting quality jewelry, homeware, and giftware in the heart of Carrick Plains in County Kildare, Ireland, since 1934. I hope you enjoy your treats, and thank you both again for the joy and excitement you both bring to every episode of Christmas Countdown. It is a pleasure to be part of the family. Catch up soon. Wait, I'm going to try to say this. This is in Irish. Actually, in Irish. Go Raiba Might Agat. Thank you in Irish.
Aww.
Your friend, Simon with a little Christmas tree.
Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you, Simon.
And
we love you.
And for 10% off your purchase of
Newbridge Silverware,
enter code Simon at
checkout.
No. This is amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to dig into this. Now, as we know, when you open up a gift at Christmas, you must open the card.
Card first.
You got to read the card first.
Must do the card first.
That's what we teach our kids, right? Yeah,
but there are monsters out there that will just go right
and they just throw it. And you're like, how do I know who it's from?
Yeah.
You know?
Do you guys keep a list of what gifts are from different people, like at Christmas time, so that you can then thank those people?
I think when we open those birthday parties, yes, yeah. Because usually you don't open the gifts till you get home.
Yeah.
But with like Christmas, usually the people who gave those gifts are there, with us, right? So we get to say like a thank you and a hug in the moment.
I don't have any family near me, so they're usually not there with me.
I don't have any family nearby. Okay, so the front of this card is beautiful. It's like a little, like we're peeking into a little Christmas scene in somebody's living room. It says, greetings from Ireland at Christmas. Ooh, a couple hundred bucks in here. No, kidding. It says, to Danny and Eric, thinking of you and sending your way a very special wish for Christmas Day. Wishing you and your families a very Merry Christmas from your Irish friend, Simon. And family. Oh, thank you, Simon. This will be the first new card going up here in the studio this season.
Yeah.
I'm going to temporarily put it over here on my table, and we'll find a nice spot to put it on display.
I wonder if we can use like push pins and just put them sort of all over the walls.
You hang up string and use clothespins. That's what we do at home.
I like that string and clothespins.
I like that idea.
They can just sort of be drifting across the middle or something, or maybe in the corners.
Yeah, we could do like some 3M strips with like little hooks on the end. Mm-hmm. So that way we don't put holes in our thing. I love that idea. Yeah. All right, John. Use your suggestion. So
good
you got
to
do it.
Right now we're cutting to the still shot of John.
Still shot of John, the jib jab. Hey, guys, I have a great idea for you this year. I don't know why I had to give him a different voice. We can't just use his own voice. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Just make me an elf. And, you know,
yes, Johnny the elf. Like John, are you Irish?
I'm American.
I'm American. You hear me?
I have Irish heritage, but I also have a bunch of heritage.
Don't
that was the best response. Hey, are you Irish?
I'm American. I feel like John is going to quickly become like the favorite character on this show because whenever we catch him, we're like, do you have like facts to back that up? And he's like, nope. I'm American. Like, that's that. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So we have two blue bags. Do you want to?
Those are the selection bags?
I think the selection thing is this Cadbury box.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if these are, all right, this is to Eric, this blue bag here. And then this blue bag is to, would you believe it?
And it's from Newbridge Silverware, which is at newbridgesilverware.com.
Yeah, established 1934 in Ireland. Use code Simon at checkout. all right, let's open this up. It has a nice blue ribbon that we're going to open up here.
Okay.
Ooh, this looks very fancy.
Oh, we got bags in bags.
There's bags in bags.
Which is exciting. Okay.
I got some silica gel in mine. Did you get some silica gel in yours? Hey, fun little tip for anyone out there.
Nope.
Save silica gel packets at your house because if you ever drop your phone in water, you can throw it in a Ziploc bag with some silica gel packets. It'll help take the moisture out. Okay. Anyway,
I'm opening my first little bag here.
All right. I'll let you do yours and then I'll go second. Here.
So that's some care advice.
Okay.
Oh, there's some silica that came out.
Wait, are these ornaments?
I think it is. Oh, my God. That is a beautiful ornament.
Ooh, let me see.
It's got like...
oh, my gosh.
A metal sort of... and this is from a silverware company, so you know this is legit. It's a very nice sort of like sterling silver base of a wreath. And then it has like green and red rubies.
Oh my gosh.
With like a very cool sort of like metallic leaf design over the top.
Stunning.
That is really pretty.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
That is incredible.
Thank you, Simon. And thank you, Newbridge Silverware.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is going on the tree right now.
Simon to check out. All right, here we go. All right, here's my first one. I'm so excited we're getting new ornaments on the trees. And for all of our listeners and viewers out there, these ornaments that are behind us, I think even including the candy canes, came from listeners from season 2. So if you want to have an ornament featured on the trees behind Eric and myself, just reach out to us, shoot us a DM or email us kringle@christmascountdownshow.com and we will send you our PO box address. So that way you can send us an ornament, a card, anything that you want to see on display or have us share here on the show. You can do that just like Simon did. Oh my gosh, Eric.
What you got?
Oh, it's heavy. It's got some weight to it.
Yeah.
Look at this. It's a beautiful Christmas tree that looks, what are those, like
Irish
knots? It says it has my name on it.
No way.
Dude, I don't know if they can see this on my single camera. It's kind of hard to tell because we can't punch in on these, but it's in this nice little sort of cursive writing at the bottom. It says, Danny. Oh my gosh.
And I've got one that says
Eric. Did you get one too? This looks really
It's like cool.
an Irish knot. Is that what those are called?
Irish cross, Irish knots.
Yeah.
Irish knots.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, I guess I like a heart design
in the middle of it.
Oh, my gosh. This is stunning.
And it almost looks like your Christmas tree.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. That's what it looks like. All right. I'm hanging that. This is getting.
Be careful turning around. I kind of hurt my neck trying to turn this around.
Well, that's because we're in our 40s now, Eric.
This is true. Oh,
boy.
That was not the ornament falling to the ground.
Oh, boy. I hope the mics picked that up because we have some droppage.
There it is.
Is it broken or is it okay?
It's just in three pieces, so I feel like that's okay. No, it's... What was that? Everybody's...
Something
we have people working here in the hallway right now at our studio, and it sounds like they just collapsed. Hopefully they're okay. But whatever just fell, they just vacuumed it up, so I think we're good. All right, hanging... I will say, it is not easy to turn around and try to hang something on these trees. All right, I may reposition it, but for right now, that is where the first ornament from Simon is going to live on the tree. I just definitely gave myself a paper cut, which is awesome. All right, I'm going to move on to my next one while you're doing that, because I'm guessing it's the same one as yours, the wreath, right? All right, let's see here. Opening up, give you your ASMR. This is me opening the tissue. Oh, dude, this thing is beautiful.
So pretty.
Simon, you absolutely crushed it, my friend. Oh, this is stunning.
Absolutely really stunning. Really pretty ornament.
Do you realize what's incredible, Eric? I'm just realizing this moment, looking at your tree, looking at mine. We now have ornaments from Ireland and from Kenya.
Yeah.
Because remember that red bell that's behind you? That's from our friend Janelle, who's a missionary in Kenya. And then I've got somewhere there it is. I've got this beautiful little like orangish yellow globe that's behind me that were handmade by artisans in Kenya. Oh, this is amazing.
Here, let me have the box while you try to hang
that
one up.
There you go. Passing it along.
We'll do the last little bit here of Simon's amazing presents. Ooh, we've got two. These are selection boxes. Okay. This is what I think we would call in America an assortment box.
An assortment.
Maybe.
Okay.
Right?
What does it say? Six of your favorites in this selection box. So. Ooh. Is this like every episode you open a new one to see what you get? Is that what we're going to do with this? Or how do we want to do this?
I can't guarantee you that once this is open that it's not going to
Well, why don't we do it together? There's a little tab on the front about down here.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see it. So that's a
nicer way of opening it. All right, ready? One, two. Oh, you see them all. You're right. Okay. I thought they might be like hidden behind like little doors or something
like that.
Like
an advent calendar sort of thing?
Yeah, look at this. Oh, this is nice. Oh, my gosh. These are all treats that we cannot buy here.
That's right.
The States. We've got some. Let's just show it off for the people who are watching. What do we got here? We've got the
Whisper.
What'd you get?
Whisper.
A wisp. We got fudge. We've got dairy milk buttons. We've got the double decker. Ooh, that sounds really, really good.
Yeah.
A little bar. And then what's this one hiding?
Crunchy.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, Cadbury. Thank you, Simon.
Yes, thank you.
This is awesome. Incredible. Very, very cool. Yep. Love that. Cadbury,
I'm gonna put mine over here.
In my opinion, has the greatest voiceover of any commercial ever. You know the voice of the Cadbury guy who they always show at like Easter, the like Cadbury Bunny audition? It's like an old 80s commercial.
Yes,
where there's like a tiger. But the guy that narrates it is like, "Welcome to Cadbury Eggs." He like has the most round voice. And if you go on YouTube right now and find Cadbury Eggs, I can't do a good version of it, but... If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
Chris, are you able to pull that up so we can listen to a little bit of it?
Everyone wants to be the Cadbury Bunny, because only he brings Cadbury cream eggs with their delicious milk chocolate outside and creamy filling. While others may keep trying, there's only one Cadbury Bunny, and no bunny knows Easter better than him.
He sounds kind of like Casey Kasem.
Yeah, Cadbury.
You know, Cadbury Bunny.
Yes.
He's got that very Casey Kasem, like, wrapped every letter around every sound.
He gave a little...
Little
H before the W situation,
definitely.
Which I always... I'm not one of those people.
What?
But I like... When I hear that, I'm
Why
like...
Why not?
Good on you for sticking with that, you know, and just keeping it... Do you think people who do that know they do that?
Yes.
And they do it intentionally?
Yes.
They're, like, looking for any reason to say a word that has a W at the beginning?
Absolutely.
So they can drop that H dub?
Absolutely.
I love those people.
Keep rocking, Simon. Thank you so much. That was just awesome that you sent us that gift. If you want to send us a gift, we're not asking for them, but if you would like to, you can send it. You can email us at Kringle at
Christmas Countdown Show.com.
Yep. and we'll give you our PO box and you can send it.
You can send us some goodies. And yes. Simon is also a part of this like merry community that we have on Facebook. It's a private community. If you want to get access to that, all you have to do is join our Patreon. The link for that is in the episode notes, or you can go to patreon.com and search
for it.
That's a new thing I'm going to put into all my words that I say now. You can search Christmas Countdown Show on patreon.com. You can join. You're going to get access to bonus episodes. You can even get discount codes for merch on our website. And then you get to be a part of this private community, which is amazing because a lot of times we'll invite those people to be a part of live recordings sure. of the show where they're essentially in a virtual audience and we interact with those people. So that's exciting to you. Join up. The link for that is in the episode notes.
Yes. Danny, how was your weekend?
My weekend? Thank you for asking, Eric. I love that you looked down at your phone and you're like, what is next?
Danny wants to talk about something. Let's ask him about it.
Well, thank you so much for asking. There is actually something I would love to talk about. So this weekend, I got to do something that I have never done before in my life.
Okay.
I got to officiate a wedding.
Oh, that's fun.
And not just any wedding. My little sister's wedding.
That's really cool.
It was super special. You know, I've been a best man in a wedding before. You know, I've been like a groomsman. I was a ring bearer when I was a kid. And for the first time ever, I got to officiate a wedding. And it was just, it was a beautiful experience to be there with my family and to watch my sister marry someone that we are all just so thrilled to have join our family. You know, connecting it to Christmas, he actually, we sort of met him for the first time back in December of 2020, mm-hmm. When we revealed to our parents and my siblings that we were going to have Riley. Mm-hmm. And so I shot this like video, funny video thing, and we showed it in the living room, and Christian, my new brother-in-law, was there. So like he was there at like a very pivotal moment in our lives, which happened around the holiday season. And then, you know, he has just like fully embraced like our family's love for the holiday season. His first year around us, he found out that like my dad really wanted to put the Christmas lights up, but was like stressed about time. So like he immediately called my dad. He's like, tell me when. I'll be there. And was like the next day or like that weekend up on the roof, hanging the Christmas lights. He's such a thoughtful guy. You know, us, we love to like give thoughtful gifts. Sure. And he is like one of those people who like hand makes stuff for people for the holidays. So thrilled to have Christian joining the family, and, you know, just to know that he's going to be a part of not just our Christmases, but, you know, our family for many, many years to come. Super, super excited about. And speaking of like family and Christmas, I've been doing something really, really cool at home lately that I wanted to share mm-hmm. with you. I'm trying to get like good audio of it. I haven't gotten like a good clip. I'll share it maybe later in the season. But my 2-year-old is in that phase where she's like a parrot. Like she'll just repeat. Is it parrots that repeat what you say? Or parakeets?
Parrot.
Okay. Yeah. So whichever bird it is, she is one of those right now. So like whatever I say, you have to be careful, right? Like she'll repeat back to me. But I was like, well, I want to try something. I want to try like some of my favorite lines from Christmas movies and see if she will repeat them back to me. So like lately I'll be like, he's going to call the cops, and she'll go, from a treehouse. Like
you love that line.
I love that line from Home Alone. It's one of my favorites.
Deep cut.
But it's in that moment where like Kevin's in the treehouse and he's like, you know, gone across on like the handlebars of his bike. And like, you know, Marv and Harry are looking across and he's like, I'm going to call the cops. And Marv goes, you're going to call the cops. And then Harry goes, from a treehouse. It's one of my favorite lines. It just gets me every time. I put it as one of my favorite lines.
I know.
You're like, I remember. It was a questionable choice. But so she does that one. There's another moment. You know, do you remember when like Marv gets into the van and he's like, yeah, one of them was called Snakes. And Harry goes, snakes. I don't know no snakes. Remember that one?
I don't.
Okay. Well, she does that one too, which is really, really cute. But now she's like gotten to the point where she'll go like, Riley. I don't know no Rileys.
That's
sleep sack. I don't know no sleep sack. She's doing that over and over again. So later this season, I'm going to share with you all some audio of her like saying those lines. So it's exciting that even though we're in October and we haven't even hit Halloween yet, my kids are already saying lines from Christmas movies at home, which I'm super, super excited about.
Did I tell you that Sophie decorated her entire room fully Christmas?
Like, you told me that she asked you about like the tubs.
Yeah, well, she went in and took out just the first tub that was the most available from the shed.
Okay.
And just whatever was in that tub, she used. And so she has full Christmas bedding now, and oh my gosh, Christmas lights up. She has ornaments hanging all over her room. Yeah, she's decked out.
Clearly, the apples do not fall far from the perennial tree.
This is very true.
Here with Eric and Danny. Yes. So I love that. I mean, Christmas is in the air.
Yes.
You know, and it's so much in the air. It's not just in the air. It's in our mailboxes.
Mm.
Eric, I know you got this in the mail recently.
I posted about this. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the people around the world, the Amazon Holiday Gift Guide, which they're calling Holiday Dash. This year, which I love. Did I ever tell you if I had a son, I wanted to name him Dash? That was like the name we had picked out. So we didn't have a son.
Sure.
So, but I have an Amazon gift guide.
That's
Dash,
right.
Which is like a close second.
It's like a son.
But it arrived. And if you're anything like me, you've started to comb through this thing. I love that.
What are you looking for in there?
I mean, what am I not looking for in here? No, I'm looking for, you know, gifts for my kids.
Sure.
I think, obviously, first and foremost, sure. Not for me.
But you don't let them look through it?
Well,
see,
here's
what we
the thing.
Do is we get it, and then the kids take it right away, and then they each pick a color of marker,
yes.
And then they go through the whole thing and circle the things that they want.
But your kids are older.
Sure.
So, like, my two-year-old.
Sure.
If I gave this to her right now,
yeah.
Before I brought it in for us to talk about on the show.
Yeah.
Literally, it would be ripped to shreds, and I would have nothing to bring into the studio to share with all of our beautiful friends.
Sure.
So I was like, I'll bring it into the studio. I want to share it super nice and clean. Maybe what I'll do is I'll bring this back in maybe like a couple weeks after
and
my children have had it.
Sure.
And then we'll see, you know,
now,
what's
you
left.
You know that in this particular one, there is a story.
Yes.
That is like you read, like there's a little bit of dialogue or, you know, a story part, and then it'll say jump to page 14, and
yes.
Then you get the next part of the story, and it jumps all around. So I've read through the whole story multiple times with Miles.
It's riveting.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's called, so you're supposed to like follow the race and solve each activity to find out who wins.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool. There's tons of amazing stuff in here. It gives me, you know, inspo. There's even like some special Amazon exclusive Funko Pops in here that like really caught my eye. I'm trying to find one of them right now just to show you. We'll look at it in a later episode. But I know I've seen a lot of people posting on Instagram that like this has started to arrive, which is super exciting.
Mine came on October 1st.
That's amazing.
The mailbox, October 1.
It's amazing. But what I love, honestly, Eric, you know, is that even in this time where like technology is so like dominant in our lives, that you can get over 600 like toys.
Oh, yeah.
In a catalog. Like, I think kids need more of this rather than like, oh, another tablet that I can play
a
game
tactile.
On. It's tactile. It's real. It's tangible, you know?
There was a really good meme that I saw of a scene from There Will Be Blood that starred Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
And there's a moment in the movie where he's talking to his like business manager and he's looking at a map and his character's trying to buy up all the land for oil and stuff.
Yes.
And he goes, this... Why don't I own this? I must own this. And he's pointing to like some spot on the map. But then it said, my child, when they're looking through the Amazon thing, you know. And so like the kids be like, this, I must own this.
That's
it's very
so perfect.
It's very true.
I love it's so true. I mean, that's how I feel
absolutely.
When I see the Funko Pops. But speaking of like things you've seen online, this feels like a good time to get to Eric's memes and things.
Ooh,
let's and get some for the memes first time things. Ever this season, folks. Let's hear that sweet track.
Yes.
Memes and things. Memes and things. It's time for Eric's memes and things.
Yes. What'd you think about that, cats. John? John's never heard it before.
Yeah.
It's almost there.
Almost there. All right. That's fair.
It's
that's
almost.
Fair.
I mean,
it's almost there.
That's
better than
more
that
than
was,
I would say.
That hurt my ears. All right, folks. It's been a minute since we've had memes and things.
Yes.
So I got a few. I'm gonna go through these as quickly as I can to try to, you know, spare all of you. But this stuff is good. And some of them, I have to admit, there's one or two that I can't remember if I talked about last year. So if there is a repeat, forgive me. But they're all good stuff.
I'll forgive you for sure.
This one says, dear people that complain about Christmas music being played too early, I don't see y'all writing any Thanksgiving bangers.
Hey.
Boom.
Boom. Like that. Roasted. Like
that. That's good. okay. This is so good. I have to play this. This is from Mandy Bossard on TikTok. M-A-N-D-I-B-O-S-S-A-R-D. She does comedy videos. And this is
Vince Guaraldi. That's how you say it, right? Guaraldi?
Guaraldi?
Guaraldi.
Yeah.
Pitching a Charlie Brown Christmas to, like, the creators of Charlie Brown Christmas.
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go. Ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, Vince, we'd love for you to do the soundtrack for a Charlie Brown Christmas. Oh, my God, I'd love to. So just something that'll blend in super well at a dinner party with a bunch of hot people. Oh, no, like hot, sophisticated people. Nope, no. You know the kind of party where you look around and you're like, wow, everyone here is hot and sophisticated. Where you're like, Carol, I just have to tell you, you always look amazing in a turtleneck. Just like kid stuff. Bobby, you know, kid Bobby, kid stuff. Ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-bum, bum-bum. Perfect. With a hint of melancholy. No, no melancholy. Not outright melancholy. Just something that says kid stuff. Kids like Christmas time. Okay. Sad kids. Kids just doing kid stuff. Picture a party with a bunch of hot people in turtlenecks. And they all struggle with depression. What do you hear in the background of that party? Because I can hear it already. I'll have it to you by Tuesday.
Oh my gosh. That's brilliant. And so accurate.
So accurate.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Okay, here's another one.
Wait, does that mean we're hot people? And yeah, sophisticated,
sure,
because
absolutely.
We love that?
Yeah.
So congrats to everyone out there.
Maybe
who
we should
that.
Start wearing turtlenecks, though.
I have one in my car. I'll go grab it.
Okay, this next one is from TikTok user Ava Mayshu.
Okay.
A-V-A-M-A-Y-S-H-U. It's a little long, but it is so adorable.
Okay.
And we'll post the video as well, but even without the video, you're going to start crying.
Aww.
This is just the most, captioned the most wholesome Christmas reaction ever.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Santa's coming.
Santa's coming.
Santa already came.
Oh my gosh.
He came.
Oh. He came.
What do you see?
Presents.
Oh, let's check.
It's this little girl, Ava, and she's
Come
sliding
on.
Down the stairs.
Did the
reindeer eat the carrots?
Yeah.
Let's check.
Oh my gosh.
They did. And Rudolph too.
Oh my goodness.
And Santa ate all his cookies.
Look at that.
Look, Ava.
What did he leave you?
He leaves us presents.
Oh my goodness.
Here's a present for you, Dad.
Oh, Ava.
He waved Daddy a present. Say thank you.
Oh. Thank you. I think this one's for you. It says for Ava. What do you think of that?
Which one's for Dad?
Oh. She wants to give presents to her parents first.
What a sweetheart.
Oh, Ava. That is so sweet. I think a lot of these say for Ava. Do you want to open one?
Is this one for you?
Well, I actually think most of these are for Ava.
Ava May.
Daddy woke up early and opened his present from Santa already. Daddy was up before you.
Is this your present, Mom?
Ava, let's open some and check. Why did you open this one?
Is that your present?
This one says for Ava, too.
Must have been really good this year, Ava.
Thank you.
Oh my
God. So adorable. Like, just too adorable. Danny's crying. This is
I
good.
I am.
It's Hopefully just, you're crying in wherever you're listening to this.
It's just so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, I was just talking to my wife about this, you know, the other day where I was like, is this going to be the year that Riley starts to get it, you know, because she's just turned two. But like, you know, I was sharing with Eric when we got to the studio here this morning that I was testing out something new, a new decoration I bought this morning before the girls left for school. And one's like this sort of looks like Buddy the Elf, and he's standing next to the North Pole and he's got his tongue stuck to it. And I filled it up. I turned it on, you know, the air was full. And then the girls had to go. And then my wife brought Riley back home and she sent me this video of Riley pulling the elf inflatable into the living room. And I'm just like, is this the year that that she's going to like get it. And so like I get choked up because I just think about like, you know, her walking out into the living room on Christmas morning. And is she going to, because she like, she gets the idea of Santa. She goes, Santa, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Like yeah. she gets it. So I don't know. It just, if you have kids or like, you know, there's kids in your life, you get it. Just seeing the wonder of the holidays through their eyes is, it's just a beautiful gift. And it's a reminder for us, right? Yeah. Like to remember the wonder that we can feel on that day. So thank you, Eric. Totally. That was beautiful.
Okay, we got some more here. So this is a very funny picture of a Christmas tree that has fallen to the ground, and there's a dog looking very guilty, and he says, thank goodness you're home. The Christmas tree fainted. Which I think we all know probably didn't happen.
That's amazing.
Okay. Here
we
go.
I'm still crying over here.
These are some great Christmas jokes that my daughter actually sent to me.
Oh, really?
Okay, these are good. Why does Santa have three gardens?
Why does he have three gardens? Mm-hmm.
Don't try to guess the joke, Danny. But you We've know been me. Through this before. You cannot do that. It's the worst way to ruin a joke.
It's like Christmas morning.
Please do
I
not.
I don't know. Tell
Just
me.
Say, I don't know.
How? Why?
Let's try this again, Danny. When somebody says, I've got a great joke for you, and they say, why does Santa have three gardens? You say...
Why, Eric?
So he can ho, ho, ho.
Hey!
Which of Santa's reindeer has bad manners?
I don't know, Eric. Which?
Rudolph. Rudolph.
Oh, because he's rude.
Rude.
Love
yep.
that.
What is the first thing elves learn in school?
I don't know.
The alphabet.
Hey!
There you go. What do you get when Santa goes down a chimney with a lit fire?
I really want to guess this one, but I don't know. What?
Crisp Kringle.
Hey, we need to make that into merch.
That's a good one. Crisp Kringle.
Like him like hanging over like the fire that hasn't been
just
put out.
Just the feet. You just see the feet kind of dangling. Yeah.
Crisp Kringle.
What do you call Santa when he has no money?
I don't know, Eric. What?
Saint Nicholas. What do snowmen eat for lunch?
I don't know. What?
Iceburgers.
Hey.
All right. A couple more. These are good.
Speaking of snowmen, we have a great snowman shirt on our website. It says chillin' with the snowmies.
That is a good one.
Yeah, ChristmasCountdownShow.com. Check it out.
How does Rudolph know when Christmas is coming?
I don't know. How?
He looks at his calendar.
Oh, dear.
What does Santa get if he gets stuck in a chimney?
I don't know. What?
Claustrophobic. Yes.
These are great.
Those are good, right?
These are all money.
Yeah, those are all really good jokes.
Are you proud of me for not
you
guessing?
Held back, and I'm proud of you.
I really wanted
I'm glad you did
guess.
I'm
all
very
of
glad
each
you did.
And every one of them. This is called evolution.
Yes, you're growing, Danny.
I'm growing.
I'm growing. Okay, here's another one. There is a website called personallucky.com.
Okay.
And they do personalized gifts. And this is a really cool idea. You can get a personalized Merry Christmas cookie stamp with your family name on
That's
it.
Amazing.
So, like, you would just push this into your cookie dough, and it basically would say, you know, we wish you a Merry Christmas from the Petersons or the Jordans, whatever. Very cool. So if you go to personallucky.com, you can see that.
There's so much cool, like, Christmas merch out there in the world. Sometimes I wonder why we don't sell more shirts, and then I see stuff like that, and I go, well.
There's lots of stuff to get.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
All right, here's a cool idea. This is from craftyfun.com. They say, have your kids choose 15 old toys to put in their Santa bags.
Ooh.
These must be toys that are in good shape that other kids would want. And then you leave the bags under the tree at Christmas for Santa to take with him to fix up and replace with new toys. And it's a great way to declutter and teach about giving.
That's really great.
Which I think is very cool.
I love that so much.
Okay, here was the thing. This was from the account Cuddlin' Dogs.
Okay.
And it says, take your dog to a Christmas light show to make a core memory. And it shows like a dog.
Oh my gosh.
We don't even think a lot to bring our pets with us when we go like driving around looking at Christmas tree or Christmas lights. But dogs love that stuff. So
that's
it says,
really,
bring
really
your dog,
cool.
You know? All right, couple more here.
Doggone it. That's really cool.
Oh, that was good. Christmas group therapy. This is a, you know, like one of those old Far Side cartoons. Christmas group therapy. The Santa says, I don't believe in myself. The snowman says, I think I'm bipolar. The reindeer says, all the other reindeer call me names. And the elf says, I'm trapped in a dead-end job.
Someone needs to do like a TikTok about that. You know how you'll see like the same person where it's like, oh, doing the different voices.
Yeah,
closed Disney attractions anonymous or whatever. And they sort of like talk to each other in a room.
Yeah.
Someone needs to do that.
That's good.
And by somebody, I mean you.
Yes. All right. That was Memes and Things.
Woo!
We had to sort of catch up because
the first one of the season.
Had a few. Yes.
Many, many more to come.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, it is time to get to Christmas news.
Yes.
Let's hit that track, Chris.
We interrupt our program to bring you this
Christmas news.
Coming to you live from outside of Santa's workshop.
Yes.
I don't know why I do that every single time. I feel like it's because I did it once and now I feel like I have to do it over and over again.
Probably.
Because somebody out there in the world saw me do it once or heard me do it once and was like, dang, you didn't do it this time. Anyway,
true.
I'll talk through that with my therapist later. All right. So here is something that's very, very exciting.
Yes.
The 20th of October.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is like, I don't know if like all the media people and record labels and everyone got together and decided the 20th of October is the day this year
that
we are going to launch all the holiday related stuff. Because going through the news, there is so much happening on the 20th. And
it's my anniversary.
Really?
Yeah.
Aw, that's why they're doing it.
That's why.
They heard it was your Annie, and they're like, how are we going to celebrate Eric and Lisa's Annie? Let's release all these things.
Release all the Christmas
stuff.
All
the Christmas stuff there ever was, because they will love that,
sure,
and they will appreciate that. Well, happy anniversary to you and Lisa. Congrats. How many years?
17, I think.
Ish, give or take.
17, 18, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't listen.
2007.
It was that. So that was, wait, 2007, so that would be 16, right?
Is that 16?
Between 16 and 18.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
It might have been a leap year in there.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. We've been together for like 20 years.
Yeah. You guys are very in love.
Yes.
And the numbers don't matter.
That's right.
It's just that you're together.
Every day is the day number one.
Every day is Christmas.
That's right.
There we go. All right. So the 20th. The first thing that we need to talk about is Countdown to Christmas officially launches tomorrow on the 20th. We're getting 31 new movies this holiday season. It is absolutely thrilling. And this first movie that they are coming out of the gates with this year, Eric.
So good.
I am so stoked about it. We talked about it earlier this week, and I'm excited to dive a little bit deeper into this film, check it twice, because we love the title.
Yes.
Double pun.
Yes.
As Eric just shared in Memes and Things, anything that feels like a dad joke or super punny.
We're in.
In, done. Yeah. So you've got this journeyman hockey player, Scott Briggs, who is traded to this team in
almost
Idaho.
Demoted.
Was he demoted?
I mean, it feels like he's, you know, his career's sputtering.
It's not Boise.
Yes.
Idaho Falls is not Boise, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to get to Boise, but he goes to Idaho Falls and ends up falling.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was part of their
probably
plan with Falls, because he fell for somebody and falls.
I mean, the title is checking it twice, so probably.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
One thing that I love that they will do is the hockey team, they'll send two players who will go coach the local Pee Wee Hockey League teams, and the guy who normally does it gets called up to Boise, can't be there.
Yep.
So who has to do it? Scotty Briggs.
Scotty Briggs.
I'll call him Scotty now. Like we're
Scotty
like
Briggs.
Like, what I loved about it when I was watching it, Eric and I were chatting about this off air the other day, is that at points Scott's journey feels very similar to me. The journey that Gordon Bombay goes on in a movie that you and I grew up with.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks.
Oh,
you know, remember Gordon sort of like has to start coaching this kid's
reluctantly,
like he was an ex-pro hockey player.
This is a good one to watch with the husbands as well.
100 boyfriends.
Yeah. Boyfriends.
And if you're a millennial, or I guess we're geriatric millennials is what they call us, which is a little backhanded, but whatever. You're going to love this because it does feel a lot like that vibe that we know and love. It's not all the film is about, but it was a great moment that I certainly loved. It's a great story. The setting is stunning. I absolutely love it. And fun fact.
Yes.
So Kevin McGarry, who plays Scott Briggs, he is very popular with the hashtag Hardys.
Oh, yeah. Well, what are the Hardys, though? You got to explain to people.
So hashtag Hardys, these are people who are super fans of this show, this original series on Hallmark Channel called When Calls the Heart, which I think just had its season finale.
I did, yeah.
And Kevin plays the Mountie on that show. So people who love that, this is going to be a great one for you, because you're going to get to see your boy Kevin,
yes,
playing Scotty Briggs, and he's great in the film. So it's a must check out, and it is the film that officially kicks off Countdown to Christmas on Friday night, October 20th.
We're excited. You're getting 31 new movies this whole holiday season.
Yeah, 31 movies, a lot to keep track of. Which ones did you watch? Which ones did you like? Which ones do you want to watch again? When is it re-airing? The good news is that Hallmark has their movie checklist app.
The app, yes.
Which is amazing. You and I chatted about this last season. Obviously, we love lists. That's what we do. And having this app where you can not only get like a preview of sort of what's to come, but to keep track of ones that you want to watch. And what I love about the checklist app, I think this is my favorite feature on it, is the ability to write a review. So, you know, we all love getting our voices heard, right? So what I love is that if you love a movie, and much like we chat about, you know, what we love about Checking It Twice, if you want to share what you love about Checking It Twice or any other Hallmark Channel movie, go download immediately the Hallmark Movie Checklist app. You can set reminders, all that sort of cool stuff that's going to make sure that you don't miss a single festive movie this holiday season.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about it. So that's the number one bit of news that I needed to drop on for people about the 20th. This next one, I got to sit up for because this one...
Very excited.
Super excited. So this year, something very magical happened, Eric. It's something that we've been waiting for, frankly, for 20 years.
All of us.
All of us. The entire...
bated breath.
Bated breath. We've been waiting for a new track from our boys in sync. And they did it. They did it.
They're back together.
They're back. Well, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's very sneaky. Like, are they together? Are they not
Tell
together?
Tell me this. From watching the videos of Justin Timberlake with NSYNC, what do you... There is...
Tension?
Tension and chemistry crackling in those videos.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that Justin is like, hey, guys, I'm here, and I'm helping you out. Look at me. I'm a big, huge superstar, and I'm back with my boys.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of, like, resentment or rage from Joey and Chris, seemingly. Lance seems to be like, hey, I'm good. Like,
whatever. Yeah.
Like, we're back
together. I'm the bass. You know, I didn't sing very much of these songs anyway.
And
so.
JC seems kind of like, I've had an okay career outside of this. So if we're doing it, great. If not, whatever. But, like, you can see, like, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in, like, what those actual conversations are like.
Me too, yeah.
And, like, if they do go back out on tour, are they just going to go as NSYNC, or are they going to go as, like, Justin Timberlake
with
and NSYNC?
I don't know. But anyway, let's bring this back to Christmas.
Yes.
So what has happened is they are releasing the NSYNC Christmas album, Home for Christmas, on vinyl, and Target is doing, because Target does this thing which
they
I love.
Like exclusives, yeah.
They'll get exclusives where it's like a special color variant of the vinyl. Like I have a Beach Boys one in orange. I have a Queen one that's like marbly red. Well, they are doing the NSYNC one in Christmas tree green.
It looks really nice.
It looks stunning. So they opened it up for pre-sale through the Target app and Target.com, and it sold out. So
did you get in?
No.
Oh, no.
So one of our amazing, you know, fans sent us, Katrina, sent us a message and was like, hey, guys, like, it's available for sale. I immediately went to Target.com, sold out. And so I was like, do I have to go to Target at like 8 a.m.?
Like a sneakerhead?
On the 20th? Yeah. And like be there, like open, and like be sprinting to like back to like the electronics section and buy this album. I don't know. So I'm very excited. That is dropping October 20th. So if you are obsessed with us, if you're obsessed with us, send me a copy
send
of the NSYNC album. But if you're obsessed with NSYNC, it is coming. So make sure you check that at Target on the 20th. So lots of exciting stuff. There's so much Christmas stuff happening on the 20th. We can't cover it all in this episode, but just Google Christmas news and you'll see what is happening. So lots of fun stuff, lots of merry stuff. Speaking of merry stuff, I think Chris has a game for us.
I love a game.
Let's do it, Chris.
What you got for us, Chris?
Hello. We have a new game. And before you get started, everyone listening at home, if you listen to previous seasons, we are going to play the game you like. I promise. Just give me some time.
Have you been getting messages?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of messages.
I promise we'll play it. It's going to be great. But we're playing a new game today. This one's called Opposite Day.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a fun one. I went ahead and rewrote the synopsises for some popular Christmas movies. But since it's Opposite Day, I wrote them as the opposite of the actual movie.
Your job will be to guess which movie
the opposite synopsis is based on. I'll read the synopsis, and if you know it, just audibly let people know that you have an idea, and then we'll see if you're right or not. But
all right.
I think it'll be pretty fun.
Can I propose a different title for this game? Synopsis.
Synopsis.
Let it marinate. Just let it marinate.
That's actually pretty good.
Thank you. You okay. didn't want to like
is...
it.
This is like, okay, sure.
As long as you don't ruin any of my jokes, then we're fine.
I would never do that.
So let's go ahead.
This is ruin jokes? Never.
This is the first one. Here we go. A composed father, played by a serene actor, peacefully fulfills his son's wish for a readily available toy on a tranquil Christmas Eve.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Jingle, jingle.
Jingle all the way?
Wait. I jingled in first.
I thought you were saying that it was jingle, jingle.
No.
Jingle all the way.
No, A Christmas Story.
Jingle all the way is right. Good job, Eric.
Oh, dang it. But you didn't ding in. All right. What are the rules here?
He said just audibly.
Sorry. I didn't listen to that part. I was just too busy thinking about ruining the jokes.
So here's the next one. Let's keep it moving. A creature without any particular motives finds himself observing Christmas festivities.
Ding, ding, the Grinch.
Okay. The Grinch is correct.
Wow.
Creature. I'll finish up this for people listening at home. He finds himself observing Christmas festivities from a distance, peacefully coexisting without any disruptive plans or change of heart.
Peacefully coexisting.
See, the creature part threw me off because I thought it had to be the opposite of a creature. This is where the game
if
getting,
it was the opposite, then it'd be they'd all be like Halloween games and stuff, and they'd all be on Mars and stuff. So I had to draw the line somewhere.
Okay, copy that.
So here's the next one. Set in the future, a young boy has no desire for gifts and seeks to avoid all celebrations, leading to a series of dull and uneventful days as he convinces his parents that holidays are unnecessary.
Ding, ding.
Okay.
Christmas Story?
That's right.
Dang. This is good.
Yeah.
This is like your version of the backwards Christmas songs.
Yes. Because
I'm like, he's talking. I'm like, I have no idea what he's talking about. Because I'm so in my head about like everything he says has to be the opposite.
Sure.
But it feels like I'm getting too granular with this.
Yes.
Yes, you are, Danny.
Moving on, here's the next one. We have three left. A remarkably organized patriarch effortlessly orchestrates a flawless family Christmas without a single mishap.
A Christmas vacation.
Christmas vacation is correct.
Yes. I'm on the board. Now I can relax.
Here's the next one. A misanthropic human who despises the holiday season goes on a mission to sabotage Christmas in New York City,
spreading
gloom and discouragement wherever they venture.
Elf.
Elf is correct.
Nicely done.
And the last one, a content and fulfilled man decides to embrace despair on Christmas Eve, causing a chain of negative consequences that lead him to resent his life and community.
I actually know this one, but you raised your hand first.
Christmas Carol.
No, it's not A Christmas Carol.
It's A Wonderful Life.
It is A Wonderful Life.
Yes! Which is a version of Christmas Carol.
Who's getting granular baby?
That's true.
That was fun.
I like that.
That made my brain work.
Chris, we got to do that again.
That was super fun.
Good game.
Chris, I want to give it up to you. You come up with the best games. Like, I'd say 95% of the games that we do here on Christmas Countdown, on Disney Countdown, all the Countdown Network shows come from Chris's mind, not just like the concept, but he writes all of this stuff, which is amazing. So thank you, Chris, for doing that. I love it.
No problem.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, folks, it's countdown time, baby. Let's get to it. Alrighty, folks. So this is the top 10 classic Christmas songs released pre-1980.
Yes.
This is going to be 5 through 1, as we always do. We'll remind you of what our 10 through 6 was. I had Bing Crosby, White Christmas at 10. Aretha Franklin, Winter Wonderland at 9. The Carpenters, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays, and Merry Christmas, Darling at 8. Dean Martin, Baby, It's Cold Outside at 7. And at 6, I had Doris Day's version of A Christmas Song and Peggy Lee's version of A Christmas Waltz. Mm. All right, here we go. Number 5. I'm shocked that I have this at 5.
It should be higher?
Should be higher.
Okay. Like as closer to 1 or closer to 10?
Closer to 1.
Okay.
Closer to 1. I don't even know how this, but this is the list. I got to go with what
where we're at,
you know? I'm going Darlene Love, Christmas Baby.
Whoa.
That's shocking because that has been number 1 in many a list for me.
You love that song.
I love that song so much.
Great song, yeah.
It came out in 1963. obviously on the Phil Spector Christmas album.
Yes.
The wall of sound that Phil Spector used to do. You got those awesome chimes at the beginning. Those, I got to figure out what is, if anybody knows, it's chimes, I think, is technically the high-pitched kind of
that
like
sort of dangle
fairy. Yeah, yeah, like that sound. But what are they called? The sort of like long, you know what I'm saying? That's like dung,
I think they're like a type of chime,
dung,
like an organ chime.
Yeah.
But maybe
if anybody knows exactly what those are called, I love those and I want to know what they're called.
Chimes. So
it's got those, you know, chimes at the beginning. You got that amazing saxophone solo in the middle there. Now, one of the things that's kind of interesting about the song, and I think it's a charming part of it, as I was listening to it the other day, it almost sounds like it's recorded in the room next to you. Like it has a sort of like dampened feeling to it or something.
Okay.
Where, and when I thought about it, and I don't think this was on purpose, I think it's just it was an old recording.
Yeah.
Is that I thought it kind of makes me feel like there's a party in the next room and I want to go over there. Like it sort of is like calling me. I don't know. Yeah. The whole song has a sort of like just slightly muted feel because it's big and brash. I mean, it's a big rock and roll tune, but like the production of it almost makes it seem like it's.
Do you think it's supposed to play like she's maybe calling that person? Like, baby, please come home?
Yeah, that's
and
what I'm saying.
She's performing this song like through an old like receiver on a phone?
Possibly.
I don't know.
Possibly. Very cool. We've talked about this before, but Darlene Love performed it on the David Letterman show for 29 years.
That's wild.
She started in 1986, and then Dave would bring her back every single year, which is awesome. There was one other thing I wanted to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
In December 2010, Rolling Stone magazine ranked Christmas Baby Please Come Home first on its list of the greatest rock and roll Christmas songs.
Wow.
Last thing about this. Apparently, in 1963... Phil Spector decided that the song was strong enough to warrant a non-seasonal version, and he wrote a version called Johnny, Baby Please Come Home, which Darlene Love also performed.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know
so
that.
So we'll have to see if we can track down Johnny, Baby Please Come Home.
It's like the reverse of Love Actually.
Yes.
It's like, this is a great Christmas song. Now let's just make,
now
it,
let's make
secular.
It not a Christmas song.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So let's listen to a little bit of Christmas, Baby Please Come Home from Darlene Love.
So good.
I don't know how it landed at 5.
Do you know who one of the background singers is on that?
I do.
Who?
Cher.
Nicely done.
Cher.
She was 17 years old.
Crazy, right?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Which is why she put it on her new Christmas album.
That's right.
She's releasing, and Darlene Love is on it,
yeah,
which is so cool. All right. So recapping my 10 through 5 at number 10, I had It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas by Perry Como and the Fontaine Sisters with Mitchell Ayers and his orchestra. And number 9, Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms. Number 8, I'll Be Home for Christmas by Bing Crosby. Number 7, Run Rudolph Run by Chuck Berry. And at number 6, I had Sleigh Ride by Ella Fitzgerald. Coming in at number 5 for me, this is one that, you know, it was wild to me that when we did like our top 10 favorite Christmas songs of all time back in season 1, that neither of us included it on our list. But then I think I had it on like my favorite songs for a Christmas party.
Sure.
To me, this song signals like it is the beacon. I know we talk about like songs that be like, oh, Christmas is here, Christmas is coming.
Because
like to me,
song, yeah,
this feels like it should be like the anthem that like Christmas is here.
Okay.
Like I think we had talked about this in the past. Like you're sort of like walking down the road and like you can sort of like Christmas town is in the distance and like you faintly hear a song playing that gets like louder and louder.
And this is the one. Okay.
And that song is It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's pretty good.
By Andy Williams. It to me, like it just it like the way it builds up the dun dun dun, like it just feels like an introduction. Like
yes,
it's setting you up for the season. The song was originally released back in 1963, but it was actually introduced to the world on the Christmas episode of the Andy Williams Show in 1962.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, pretty cool, right? It also has been selected as the theme song for the Christmas Seals 4 times over the years in 1968, 76, 2009, and 2012. And what I love about so many of these classic Christmas songs is that they almost feel like they have gained momentum as time has gone by. And I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, why is that? That like these songs that like we, our generation, think of being like the Christmas hits. When you look at like where they peaked when they were released, it was like number 65, number 42. Like the peak position for this song in the Billboard Hot 100 was number 5. And that happened in 2020.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Crazy.
So I just love, like, I think it's just...
Do you think it's because there's more, like, radio stations playing Christmas music and doing it earlier and earlier?
You know, I've been asking this question. Because
there's a couple of these, like, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home didn't chart high until 2021 or something like that. Yeah.
I think that for a lot of us who are consuming now, like, movies, TV, you know, music... We are nostalgic.
Yes.
And we want to hear those songs that we remember our parents playing, be it the Carpenters, be it Andy Williams, Darlene Love, whatever it is. And so I think now that we are the ones who are listening to Spotify where things are being tracked all the time, I think we're driving a lot of the charts, you know, to an extent. And I think Christmas, this is what I sort of like, the conclusion I came to is that we like Christmas to feel a little old.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And the new songs that come out.
New toys, old music.
New toys, old music. Exactly. Yeah. Like there's something about the nostalgia, right? And nostalgia isn't recent. Nostalgia is in the past. And these songs, I think, are super nostalgic for us. And they remind us of a time that was pre all the information. It was just like you a song came out on the radio and you listened to it and that's all you sort of knew, right? Yeah. And it seems simpler. I think we yearn for simplicity in a lot of respects. And I think these songs, like, you know, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, remind us of that. So I've got it at number 5, Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams. Let's take a little listen.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all.
Yeah. It's here.
It is here.
It's here.
Christmas is here.
I love it.
It goes, you know, Andy Williams, us.
I have a Andy Williams gripe. I was listening as I was driving in today. He has the song Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays, yes.
Happy Holidays. And in that song, he says that Santa's coming at the stroke of midnight.
Mm.
And I was like, Andy Williams, what are you doing, man? If you're given the exact arrival time, that is not okay. Children will find him.
Spoiler alert.
Crazy.
And that's my number 5.
I love it. Very good song. All right, my number 4. Ooh, this is a tasty, tasty morsel.
A little nugget.
And I'll be honest, this is... like tied for my favorite version of this particular song.
Okay.
You and I both love the Sinatra version of this song.
Maybe I know where you're going.
Yeah, I think you do.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Judy Garland's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Judy.
Number 4 for me. So this song came out in 1944.
Okay.
It's from the film Meet Me in St. Louis. I also really associate it with the movie Family Stone, which I love that movie. And there's that moment that is sort of the Christmas Eve night. The middle sister is just kind of like watching it because her husband's not come home yet. And she's kind of crying. She got her daughter on her lap. And Craig T. Nelson's like, are you okay, sweetie? And she's like, yeah, just missing my hubby, you know. Mm. And so I just feel like this song has such a longing and such a sort of quiet. And you know how I love hashtag sad Christmas.
You know? Do.
What I like about it is... especially in Judy Garland's version, there seems to be this kind of like push and pull where I feel like the music stays in tempo.
Okay.
And for me, it's almost like it's 2 or 3 clicks too fast. Hmm. And I feel like for Judy Garland, it's 2 or 3 clicks
too
fast.
The music is.
The music is. Okay. And there's this feel that she's wanting to be like, no, slow down. I'm sad. And so like this push and pull of the music kind of pushing her, but then she'll kind of like drag it back and then it will, you know, have a little bit of a slowdown. It's just so beautiful musically how the band works with her.
Do you think that was intentional? Where like,
I do.
We feel like we're chasing like Christmas, we want Christmas to slow down.
I do. I don't think it's necessarily about like wanting Christmas to slow down, but I think it's that feeling of like wanting that reaching feeling for, you know, have yourself, you know, trying to get somebody home.
The longing.
Right. The longing. Because the song is all about, in the film, it's because the father has gotten a big job promotion to go to New York City. And so she's singing to her siblings, kind of saying like, she's almost singing as if she's away, but she's being the voice of her father. So I think it just has that really like longing feeling of wanting the best for the people that you love. And you're going to try to get there in time. And if you don't, you're going to still send, you know, good wishes and prayers and love.
Right.
So let's listen to just a little bit of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Judy Garland.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. The Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away.
It's tasty.
It's really good.
You said it was tasty.
It's a morsel. Tasty morsel.
You were right.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't give Judy, you know, much like in part one we talked about Perry Como not getting a lot of love on the show. I feel like Judy, we historically
haven't get enough love.
Chatted about her. And I feel like whenever we talk about Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, we'll get a lot of messages from people saying like, what about Judy's version? Yeah. What about Judy's? Well,
there you go.
Yeah.
But also I think that, you know, there's something about Judy Garland, and especially if you know anything about her personal life.
Yeah.
You know, she was a child star and the expectations after Wizard of Oz, and she still was a big star, but I think she was always sort of wrestling with like what her place in the world was.
Right.
And so she has that like fragile part to her voice that feels a little shaky that you just want to be like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, Judy. You're okay. You know?
Yeah.
And they're especially paired with this song. Just has that kind of like, you just want to reach through the speakers and just like hug her and say, it's going to be okay.
Did you see the play, which was kind of a musical-ish, End of the Rainbow?
I did not.
It was on Broadway a few years ago, and it's about
her, yeah.
It's about Judy Garland. I learned so much about her in that show that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that she was basically like broke at the end of her life, and like Frank Sinatra paid for her funeral and, you know, all that stuff. It's just so sad, you know?
Like, I have a great story that's not about Judy Garland, but it's about her daughter.
Okay.
This was Liza
with a Z?
Yeah.
No, Liza with a Z. Okay.
We were at a open call for some Broadway show. This is back when I like had no Broadway credits. I was just like going to open calls and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was me and a couple other people I knew. We were at Chelsea Studios and we were like kind of down the hall in one of the last rooms. And we're like kind of sitting there waiting to go in for our turn or whatever. And we hear a pair of heels coming down the hallway, which is not uncommon. There's girls audition in heels all the time.
Right.
But the cadence of the walking was odd. It was like, clip, 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 like so odd.
Right.
And I remember saying, that sounds like Liza Minnelli walking down the hallway. And literally a second later, Liza Minnelli came around the corner. And she was like, do you guys know where room 4B is? And I was like, it's down that way. And I was like, how could I tell that it was Liza Minnelli from just it was that way that she was like clipping down the
Had you
the hallway.
Met her before? Or you
Never
seen her
met
walking?
Her.
Or you just like, you had a sense just, that was the way Liza Minnelli would walk.
Yeah.
That's
I
amazing.
Said it as a joke, and then it was actually
And it
her.
Was true. It was funny because it's true.
Yep.
As
so
say,
that was my number four.
Great selection.
Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
All right. So my number four is going to be songs by an artist.
Okay. That's fair. I have to give a little bit.
There were a few times that I was like, all right. And I know I said in part one that Dean Martin wasn't on my list.
Sure.
Or I didn't have a song by Dean Martin on my list. Well, I got some songs by Dean Martin on my list. You know, you know me, our listeners who've been around since the early days, or even people who've gone back and listened to the early episodes, you know that Dean Martin is one of my favorite artists of all time.
Yes.
Not just for Christmas music, like everything about like his swagger he, in my opinion, was an underrated actor and could dance. Like, sure, the guy could hoof as well. Yeah. You go back and you look up some of these old movies that he was in with Jerry Lewis.
Sure. He was a mover.
He could move. He could shake. He could tap dance. But then, you know, we know him as like this crooner. Once he joined forces with Frank and Sammy and Joey and Peter and they became the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
That's where this like persona of like this loungy sort of croons, yep, baby, you know, and his Christmas music, I believe, captures that croonin' and in swoonin' vibe best. You know, to pick one would be impossible for me because I love him so much. So I love Silver Bells. I think
Silver Bells. So good.
Honestly, like, I feel like Silver Bells is an underrated Christmas song.
Is
in general, like when you listen to it, whether it's him or Bing, whoever's doing it, like it just, it has this essence about it that's so beautiful. And just the idea of these silver bells just ringing and letting you know that it's Christmas time in the city is beautiful. He does a great job on Winter Wonderland. And then he has another great track he does. And rather than maybe having Chris play the track, I wanted Dean to be able to sing it for himself. So I actually got Dean Martin.
You got him right there. Wow, look
join
at this.
Us. Dean Martin, friends, is joining us here in studio today. You may remember Dean making a guest appearance season one.
Yes.
On Christmas Countdown show. I decided Dean, he wanted to come back.
Sure.
He's been sending us letters on Instagram.
He's got the nice Christmas scarf on.
He's dressed so, so sweetly. Now, if you remember,
he didn't work.
Well, he sings.
Sure.
But his mouth doesn't move.
Right.
So this was a gift from my father
for
Christmas a few years ago. And when I played it for the first time, the mouth did. Nobody goes, what? The mouth doesn't work? I was like, Dad, it wasn't in a box. Like, you didn't press the button before you gave it to me. So anyway, I want to share a little Dino.
Sure.
And that song is going to be Let It Snow.
Okay.
So take it away, Dino.
His head moves, though. That's nice. That is pretty good.
Anyway, that's a little Let It Snow by Dino Crescetti, as he was.
Oh, is that his real name?
His real name was Dino Crescetti.
I didn't know that.
From Steubenville, Ohio.
I knew that. I knew he was from Ohio, but I didn't know that he had a different last name.
Yeah. So you can't go wrong with Dean at the holidays, in my opinion.
I agree.
So that's an amalgamation coming in at my number four.
Love it. All right, my number three. Oh, golly, I love this song so much. This is going to be Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, 1978. Snuck it in right just the under cusp, the wire, but it is pre-1980. Okay, this is the live version of Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. It's recorded on December 12th, 1975 at CW Post College in Brookville, New York.
Oh, wow.
And interesting, it was recorded by record plant engineers Jimmy Iovine and Tom Penizio.
Oh, wow.
But Jimmy Iovine went on to become obviously a huge force.
Interscope Records, right?
And like discovered Eminem and like
a lot of people.
Yeah,
he's a legend.
Big deal. So in the live version, it's just so good because we know that Springsteen puts on an amazing live show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Talks to the audience a lot. But this thing, how it starts, and he goes, Hey, band, you know what time it is? And like they all kind of like mumble, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's Christmas time. And then he talks to Clarence, who plays the saxophone. He's like, Clarence, you been good? You got a new saxophone? It's so like imagining this happening at a rock concert. And in 1975, Bruce Springsteen was like the coolest of the cool.
He was the boss.
Like he wasn't like that grandpa that you love or even a dad you love. He was like, he's like Harry Styles, you know, like
he had the leather jacket. Did he do a leather jacket? Was that him?
Yeah,
or
he did
am
leather
I thinking
jacket.
Of George Michael?
George Michael had the leather jacket you're probably thinking of.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, he was like super cool. And the thought that he would play a Christmas song and it's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, you know, at the height of his coolness, I just think is so awesome. And then he says to the crowd, he's like, how about you? Everybody been good? And then he says, oh, that's not many.
Not many.
Oh, good. I laugh every single time. And as does Bruce. This song builds in such an amazing way. You got Max Weinberg
And the only reason I know that the drummer's name is Max Weinberg, do you know who he is?
Yeah, he led Conan O'Brien's band.
Yeah, yeah, which I still think is the coolest thing of like two separate acts of your life to have be like, I did years on the road with Bruce Springsteen, then I was like the leader of a band for a late night show for 10 years or whatever. So cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, his drums come in slowly and dramatically, but then they build and they build. It's just such great rock and roll fun when you get to hear Clarence's low voice be like, better be good for goodness sake. It's so good, and you can hear Springsteen laughing the whole time, and then that saxophone solo comes in. It's so great. And what I think is really cool is that he still plays it. If he's playing a gig after November 1st through the end of December, he plays that song.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah,
that's amazing,
which I think is really cool. Well, so let's listen to a little bit of the Boss's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you what. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it.
It's so
it's
good.
It's got a little bit of like his voice in that recording feels a little bit like Neil Diamond.
Sure, yeah.
At times, like that growly, you know, sherry, sort of vibe. But I love it.
It's so good.
I feel like that was like, there was a lot of that growl in like the 60s and 70s.
Late 70s,
rock.
Yeah.
Isn't he going on tour, or he like canceled his tour or delayed his tour or something like that?
I don't know.
I feel like he was supposed to be on tour. He's about to be on tour. Anyway, we'll cover that in our next Christmas news segment, because if it's around the holidays, then you know you're going to get to hear that song. Amazing selection. All right, so this one, and let's be honest, to try to slot these songs we're talking about anywhere 1 through 5,
they're
like, these could all be, these are legends, these are icons. And you, I think this song's going to pop up on your list. You're probably going to be like, Danny, how in the world can you put this in number 3? And that song is The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole.
3?
I know. I know. It was hard. This is what happens when we make these lists, you know? And I'm sure there are people out there who are like, how dare you? That's blasphemous. I'm sure there's someone sitting in their car on the train right now.
Someone sitting across from you.
In a chair very close.
Blasphemous.
How dare you? But, you know, to me, you know, you talked about Tasty.
Yeah.
With Judy Garland's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. To me, this is one of the most delicious. And not just because there's chestnuts roasting on an open fire and Jack Frost nipping at your nose. There's just something about the strings in this song, which is interesting because I was doing a little research into the history of this song. So it was originally written in 1945 by Robert Wells and Mel Torme, of all people. And Nat first recorded it in 1946 with the Nat King Cole Trio. And then he recorded it again a couple months later, and he added a little small string section to it, because in the original version, the strings weren't which is wild, because when you think of this song, the Christmas song, you think of the strings at the top of it. And then he recorded it again in 1953 using the same arrangement but with a full orchestra that was arranged and conducted by Nelson Riddle. And then he recorded it again in 1961 with Ralph Carmichael as the conductor and arranger. Now, that is the version that we know. The one that when you hear it on the radio, when you hear it in a movie, like at the beginning of Prep and Landing or wherever you sort of hear it, that's the version that we know. And real fun fact is back in 2022, which was so long ago, the Library of Congress selected that recording specifically for preservation in the United States National Recording Registry as being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant, which I thought was so cool. When I think of this song, I think of warmth.
Yeah.
I just think of being comforted. Even though I've never roasted chestnuts on an open fire, I don't even think I've ever seen anyone roast chestnuts on an open fire. But for some reason, the way the song is written, the way that Nat performs it, the orchestrations, makes me feel like I've roasted chestnuts on an open fire thousands of times in my life, and now I get to do it
yeah.
all over again this holiday season. To me, it is, it just, it's one of the coziest songs of the holiday season. And that's why I got a number three. Let's take a little listen, but not too much, because sure. I have a feeling
you might be hearing
we
it
may hear from it again soon. Yes. Let's take a little, let's just hear the strings maybe sure, at the beginning sure. of the Christmas song by Nat King Cole.
Chestnuts roasting. So good.
I feel warm and toasty.
Yes. Yes, yeah. indeed. There more on that coming
more
soon.
That yeah.
I love it. Obviously, that's a spectacular choice. My number two, I think, is going to shock you. I think that if I gave you 100 guesses, I don't think you would
guess
this.
I would never
get it? Yeah. It's going to be a Sinatra song, so that's not a surprise. It's The First Noel. The First Noel. Right? 1957. Off yeah. the famous Frank Sinatra Christmas album. It's such a sweet song. And I kind of went back and forth between this and like Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Yeah.
It's hearing Frank sing those classic hymns. Mm. And he doesn't do much to them. He doesn't try to make them swing. He's very respectful of like the song. And what it makes me think of when I listen to it is it's just so sweet and soft, and you have that, as we talked about in the last episode, where he sings the first verse, and then a choir comes yes. in, and then he comes in and closes it out. So you have that whole thing happening, and you have this string line that's like kind of running counterpoint underneath what he's singing. And what I love about that choir coming in is that it feels, to me, like Christmas Eve service. Because it goes, it starts a small choir, like just the women, and then the women and the men, and then a full choir, and then it goes a cappella. Hmm. And it just feels like, for me, that Christmas Eve service of when you start lighting the candles and you sing the hymns and everything right. like that, and you do one of the verses of Silent Night a cappella, and it just always has that feeling of like, this is Christmas. Like, this is what it's really about. So Frank's version of this song is just so, as we said, tasty and respectful, and it makes me feel like the deep part of Christmas.
Yeah.
And so let's listen to a little bit of The First Noel by Frank Sinatra.
The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they in fields where they lay, they were keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel.
That's good, right?
Noel,
amazing.
Really.
I was tempted to talk about it in this countdown.
Really?
But knowing that we're doing hymns and carols later sure. on, I was like, I think I'm going to stash that
sure,
one
sure, sure,
potentially
yeah.
for later on. I just, you talk about like him not swinging
yeah.
in the songs. Like it's just, there's simplicity in the recording of so many of the Christmas tracks that Frank does from yeah. the beginning of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, where it's just
yeah.
his voice and nothing else. Like, yeah. and his voice has the ability to do that.
Yeah.
Is he to not be. Need music behind it for it to shine
yeah.
or it to work. So amazing, amazing selection. All right. This next one, I'm going to go a little bit more upbeat. And by a little bit right. more, I mean a lot more
okay.
upbeat. This song, I mean, it is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time, not just pre-1980. Like this song to me, it encapsulates a time that like, you know, if someone had asked me like, if you could live in any decade, which one would you choose that you didn't get to live in?
Yeah.
I would choose the 50s.
Sure.
I love the cars. I love the fashion. I love the music. I love the idea of like sock hops mm-hmm. and all this sort of stuff. It's why
poodle
I love
skirts and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I love, you know, Back to the Future is one yeah. of my, the original is one of my favorite movies of all time because the enchantment under the sea dance and just, you know, obviously I think socially there were things going on that like weren't great.
Sure.
But when I think about like the music and the movies and the style, like and the cars, like I just have always felt connected to yeah. the '50s. And this song to me just encapsulates the vibe
okay.
of the '50s. And that song is Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree
you love
by
that
Brenda
one.
Lee. Yeah. I love that song
yeah.
so much. When I was doing some additional research into it this time around, I learned something new about this song that I did not know. And that is, would you believe that Brenda, when it was released in 1958, she was 13 years old.
Wow.
I always assumed that she was like, I assume she was young.
Yeah.
But like maybe like 18, 19 years old. But it's wild to me that she was 13. And I learned that she also had a nickname. They called her Little Miss Dynamite because she was 4'9".
Wow.
These things I did not know
very little
about Brenda Lee. Sure. I knew very little about Brenda Lee, it appears, but I love the vibe, that saxophone solo in this song. Yeah. Like, if you're anything like me, I've been trying to come up with like a perfect like reel for us to play that incorporates just that saxophone solo of that song, because like, I think when I was a kid, up until this day, I've always imagined me as the saxophone player. It might have been the reason why I took up saxophone in junior high, for all I know. I don't know. It just feels like a party.
Yeah.
And I always dreamed of like, imagine being so good at the saxophone that you could walk into a Christmas party and people are like, hey, you can play a little something? You'd be like, well, let me just see if I still got it here. And I actually did play the saxophone at a Christmas party once for my family once. But it was not this song. It was Old King Wenceslas.
Sure.
So not nearly as cool, not nearly as peppy. But to me, like, this song just encapsulates the party, the lightness, the joy of the holiday season. And I will forever associate it with Kevin McAllister.
Absolutely.
Dancing around in his living room with Michael Jordan when Harry and Marv pull up. So let's take a little listen to Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee.
Rockin' around the Christmas. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit bring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly.
It's so good.
It is.
It is interesting, though. I feel like I can't not picture the scene from Home Alone when I hear it.
With him with the strings in his hand doing like that.
It's like all I can picture. I try to remove that part from my mind, but it's ingrained.
That's what I've learned in these countdowns, is that like I feel like my top 10 is like the Home Alone soundtrack basically.
That's all right, though. Yeah. That's all right.
You love what you love.
All right. So we are to the last one for me. My number one, which obviously I think you know where I was going with this from what Danny had said earlier, is going to be Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song, 1961. Everything that Danny said is true. The strings coming in at the beginning is just so great. The way that he's playing, I don't know if he's playing an organ or a piano, but it feels like the keys feel so round. Like the sound is round, which is really cool. And the bass sounds a little bit also from Christmas Baby Please Come Home. The bass sounds like it's in the room next door. It has a little bit of a muted sense to it, which is awesome. I love the way, I don't know that anybody is better than Nat King Cole of like wrapping his voice around words, you know, the way that he says Eskimos.
Yes.
I mean, like there's like 17 syllables when he says it, you know, because he just adds such like a beautiful wrapping around of that like honey voice. It's so great. And I just feel like it feels as if he's singing a lullaby to like the whole world as he's singing it. And As you go to listen to this again, whether it's in this next, you know, moment when we play a little clip of it, or if you listen to it after we're finished here, listen to it in the car or something and turn it really loud. Make it really loud where you can feel that bass and you can feel his voice just kind of envelop you. And I promise you, it will feel like a warm hug.
Yeah.
But you got to turn it up. So let's listen to a little bit of the Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
So great.
Yeah. Have you ever listened to it on vinyl?
Yeah, I have it on vinyl.
And like, do you really pick up on the bass? Because like when I think of listening to the song, because I don't have it on vinyl, I almost bought it last year, but kicking myself I didn't. I feel like when you listen to songs on vinyl with headphones in, that's where you can really hear, pick an instrument and be like, I'm only listening to the bass.
Yeah.
And you can hear the fingers.
Yeah.
It's cool. Now I want to get it on vinyl and listen to it this holiday season. So, you know, wifey, if you're listening, no pressure, but I would like it. So before I reveal my number one, did want to remind you guys to rate and review the show wherever you are listening. If you are not subscribing already, please make sure. Did I say subscribe or say scribe? I don't know what I just said. Did I say subscribe? All right, whatever. I said subscribe. I'm tired. Wherever you are listening, whether it be on Spotify, on Apple, please make sure you subscribe to the show. Follow us at Christmas Countdown Show on all the social media channels. And if you love what you're hearing and you want to hear even more content, you want five more additional songs that Eric and I love, click the link in the episode notes. That'll get you to our Patreon, or you can just go to patreon.com and look up Christmas Countdown Show, and you can become a member of the Christmas Countdown crew. We would love to have you join us. All right, I'm going to wrap this up with Frank Sinatra.
Good.
I mean, nobody's good. Shocked here. If you know us, if you know me, you know we love the Rat Pack. You know we love Sinatra so much. I do want to shout out his version of Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow with the B. Swanson Quartet is such a beautiful song. But I already talked about Let It Snow earlier. So I want to specifically call out Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I talked about it a few moments ago. Like when Frank, at the top of that song, it's just silence with the exception of
his voice
coming in. And I like to like envision what the mood was like in the studio. What were people just waiting? Like, was he standing at the microphone and everyone's just dead silent from the booth watching Frank? And he's like,
have yourself.
And he stamps up to the microphone. And everyone's like with bated breath, like waiting for it to waiting hear his to start, voice come through. And then he goes, have. It's just like, it feels like he's breathing out something in that moment. Like he's just been thinking about something and now he's releasing that thought. And his thought is, I want you to have yourself a merry little Christmas. I want your heart to be light. I think that's what we all aspire to feel, right, at the holiday season, which is what we love so much about this show and all the fans who listen to the show and just being able to be a part of the Christmas season, that is that it is a time for our hearts to be light. And yes, there can be so much going on in the world that wants to pull us down or distract us from all the beautiful things in our life. But I feel like when we listen to songs like this, it is a chance for 3 minutes to take a breath and to relax and to think of what the holiday season is capable of doing to your heart and capable of doing to your mind, because it did it before and it can do it again. And for me, this song, because of the way it's recorded, because of Frank's voice on it, because of the message on it, it always slows me down and helps me to sink firmly into the present moment in the season. And I hope it does the same for all of you. As well. So before we have Chris play a little track, I do want to let you guys know that we are putting all of these songs up on a Spotify playlist. So if you're like, I want to listen to all these tracks, that link will be in the episode notes as well. So you can listen to songs like this and all the other great ones that Eric and I have shared here over the last week. So let's take a little listen to Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Frank Sinatra, and then we'll wrap this baby up.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Nobody better.
Nobody better.
Yeah. He's the king.
Voice of a generation.
Absolutely.
As some might say.
That's right. All right, folks. That is going to wrap it up for us here on the Christmas Countdown Show, episode 2 of season 3. We will be back next week with a brand new top 10 list. Make sure you come on back. And we like to close every episode the same way by saying Merry Christmas.
And Happy Holidays.
We'll see you on the next one. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
See ya.